Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hello.
Hi, Pete.
Hi.
How's it going, bud?
Not too bad. How about you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Bit of a stressful day today.
Yeah.
With Ollie off on his bachelor party in Ireland.
Everything's chaos when Ollie's not here.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, I have to run the show and I'm not very good at my job. So unfortunately, everything starts to fall apart. Like, I had to do my news to say. And like, to be honest, everything was fine until Uber Eats. Until Uber Eats messed. We were flying. Everything was running so smoothly.
It was great.
Everything was going fine. I finished doing my news. I'd done all my images and stuff. I ordered my food while I could do some admin-y stuff. And I was like, cool. Once this food arrives, which will be in half an hour, I can eat that. Me and Pete can go record the Weekend Ramble. Hey, everything's fine. We've got to edit that and export it. But it's fine because we've got time to do that. And then. I get a message from Uber saying, like, enjoy your food. It's been delivered. And I'm there sat at my desk looking around me going like, has it? Because I can't see it.
Yeah.
So I think the driver, despite my instructions to call me when he arrived, just gave it to someone else.
Probably.
So I then had to, because I only need to eat something, I had to reorder and we've had to split the recording of this bloody Ramble Club, Wrestle Ramble episode, which means now we're delayed in the editing of it, which means I'm delayed in the posting of it, which means we're delayed in the other bits of recording that we need to do, which means I'm delayed in the editing of that as well. Is that a big old knock-on effect that I need to do before we shut down for the day?
Yep.
So, F you, driver.
Mr. Driverman.
Mr. Driverman. Maybe I'm actually going to find his name. I'm going to name and shame him this episode. Where are we?
Please do.
Where's my orders?
Sort of Googling live on air.
Sort of Googling live on air. Was it this one? Rate and tip. Oh, you're not going to get a good courier rating, are you? I think they've removed it.
There was so much venom when you said that. Yeah, you're not going to get a good rating.
I think Douglas was the one who actually delivered my food fine. I had to reorder it.
Ugh.
Temple of Satan, it was very nice. Anyway,
yes.
But you and I, while you folks are listening to this podcast, we are in, and I actually am going to say sunny Birmingham because it's the hottest day in the UK. It's going to be the hottest weekend and we're going to be indoors.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be looking at board games because we are massive nerds.
Yeah, we're going to be at the UK Games Expo in Birmingham with El Fakador and a few of our friends. And we are going to be indoors in a place that has no windows.
Can't wait.
On the hottest day of the year. It is going to be swelteringly awful in there because it will just be a lot of BO.
Yep.
It's a lot of sweat going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be epic.
Yep. And you know what as well? I packed earlier with the intention that I would be not going back home before I head up to Birmingham. Forgot to pack shorts.
Oh, mate.
I know. It's awful. You know what else I forgot to pack? My toothbrush.
Oh, mate.
Do you know what else I forgot to pack? My phone charger.
Oh, mate.
I've had an absolute shocker this morning.
Deary
me. It's been awful.
Not having internet is really messing you up.
I know, I've still not got internet in my flat, and it is messing with my head. I think, as well, this morning, I was barely walking, like, because I mentioned it on the main podcast, but I went to CrossFit yesterday.
Brag.
Which is, it was awful. No, it was fun afterwards because I felt good because I'd exercised and I hadn't done any form of proper exercise in years at this point. But I actually did some exercise and it was okay. But this morning, though, My body didn't like it. Mm. So I was stumbling around my entire flat. It was my legs are in a lot of pain currently.
I think
I messed with my head a little bit when I was packing my stuff.
I woke up this morning desperate to go back to sleep. Yeah. If my phone wasn't on the other side of the room, I would have fallen asleep for another hour.
Mm-hmm.
I was very, very fortunate that I got up so I could do my news.
Yeah.
But I forgot my lunch. That's actually one of the other really irritating parts about all of this. I had lunch. I had lunch that I forgot yesterday, but me and my wife forgot hers as well. We were like, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Because we'll have it on Friday.
You've got Friday.
Lovely stuff. I forgot it again. And I realized while I was on the tube, and I was like, you absolute coin. You absolute moron.
I've not heard coin used as a self-insult. That's great.
It's from, I can't take credit for it. It's John Robbins' thing. It's his radio-friendly version of calling yourself the C-word. You absolute coin.
You coin.
Absolute coin.
I think weapon is probably one of my favorite insults.
You absolute unit.
Absolute weapon.
Weapon.
Love it.
So I forgot my lunch again, and which means I had to go through Uber Eats, and they messed me up.
Yep.
So very, very unhappy with those. But anyway, we've got so much to do today now, and it's 3:30. Here's the show. As you might have guessed, we're probably going to be talking... Well, I say we probably are. We are going to be talking about that Jon Moxley interview he did on Talk Is Jericho, where he very openly talked about his leaving WWE, his decision to leave WWE, and his creative frustrations within WWE and sort of like the last 18 months of his time there. I mean, what did you think of the interview from the start?
Oh, it was fascinating, wasn't it? Oh, it was amazing because a lot of the things that he said, I think a lot of wrestling fans had thought for a long time, and to hear it come from him, to hear it come from Moxley himself, just kind of confirms everything that wrestling fans were thinking. And he was saying things about, you know, saying the lines against Roman Reigns and his leukemia, and he was saying things about getting injections in the butt and all that stuff. And it was all the stuff that fans had been frustrated with, he was also frustrated with. And it was really, like, fascinating to have that peek behind the curtain in that sense, because sometimes there's a lot of things that fans are frustrated at with wrestlers, and they're like, oh, no, I had great fun doing that. It's fine, it's whatever. But then there's things like this, when Moxley is really, really frustrated, and he did not hold back.
He certainly didn't hold back. Like, it's funny, because the start of the podcast is very much a case of he'll be like, you know, look, I really enjoyed my... I'm not going to, you know... the company gave me a big platform, I got paid very well, as any other, and I enjoyed my time there. That said, let's bury them for the next 2 hours.
That's a great line.
It's a really, really good line. But yeah, you're right. It's funny as well. I kind of mentioned this on the NXT podcast, but all the stuff that Moxley was talking about in the show, the sort of like frustrations with the talent and the frustrations with the creative process and the frustrations with Vince McMahon kind of micromanaging everything, is what Dave Meltzer and Mike Johnson and Pro Wrestling Torch and WrestleVotes and all of these places have been reporting for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have written that off and been like, ah, it's just dirt sheets, it's just this, because I think that a lot of fans have been conditioned by Pritchard to think the dirt sheets are just making stuff up to get you to read it, because then people are arguing, well, he's on the inside, so he would know. Mm-hmm. And then you actually have a guy like Moxley come out and be like, yeah, no, what they're saying is right.
Yeah.
And everything they've been reporting is true, and everything that you as fans think we are struggling with backstage is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Moxley outright says, your creative process sucks. And that's his big challenge at the end of it. It's like, I challenge Vince McMahon to change the process because the process sucks.
Just do it better.
Yeah,
what he's saying.
Literally, just do it better. And it kind of goes back to this line that Vince always kept saying, like, ah, oh, it's good poop. Like,
yeah,
he's in the S word.
It's good S word.
It's good S word. Like, and that's, and it's funny as well because Pritchard uses that line a lot as well. So that really must be like a true Vince-ism.
Yeah.
That he'll just like, oh, that's good S.
Yeah.
That's good S.
This is going to be the greatest promo you've ever cut.
Yeah, exactly. And see, like, the crux of this is that, like, Vince's creative process sucks. And Vince will often rewrite things. He'll rewrite scripts once they've been done. Like, so you'll get a promo and you'll kind of run through that promo in the writer's room. And then you will try and make changes to that promo. And then you'll go back and you'll see a new version of that script that's got VKM written on it. And once that's there, you know it can't be changed.
Yeah.
That means that Vince has rewritten the promo himself, and that is it.
Yeah.
And Moxley's point was, don't hire wrestlers then. Just hire actors, because they're probably going to do this better than I can.
Exactly. And that's another thing that fans have been saying for a long time. And I guess listening to this, it was just kind of all of us were just like Captain Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine just going, vindication! Because we're right about something for once. But it's that kind of thing where we just say, well, Vince has written it. That's it, you're done. And yeah. It's like, he's completely right. If there's no creative license, what's the point in hiring people that can think about their own characters? What's the point in hiring people that are really great in-ring wrestlers when the wrestling doesn't matter and it's all about the promos? Hire actors then. He's got a perfect point. Like, it makes no difference whether you've got the best in-ring technician in the world if they can't cut a pooper scooper joke. Like,
yeah. I mean, we'll get to the pooper scooper bit in a minute, but like, he kind of tells various different stories about his frustrations with the creative process. And I found one of them to be very interesting, which was he was talking about when he was babyface, when he was in like full-on Wacky Dean era. The era of Moxley that I think a lot of people kind of hold against him. Yeah. So it's funny, like when Moxie debuted for AEW, I did actually have a few people get in touch with me on Twitter and various other places being like, well, what's the big deal? No one likes Dean Ambrose anyway. I thought we didn't like Dean Ambrose. And I'm like, and I thought about it, I was like, well, I mean, you're kind of right, because for the last couple of years, we've had Wacky Dean, and then we had him out for a while. We really enjoyed the stuff he did with Seth when they were kind of like reforming the Shield. Then he went out with his injury, and when he came back, we were like, oh, cool, it's Prison Dean. This is cool. And then he had the heel turn, which I still to this day defend. I think the heel turn was a really smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it sucked that we had to have that Roman announcement, but all of a sudden it was like, right, and let's get back to the wrestling. We've had our sad little moment now, but like, this is a wrestling show. Let's do the wrestling. And there was some interesting stuff in there of Dean Ambrose incorrectly channeling his rage. He was angry about the Roman situation and taken out on Seth. And he had Seth being like, dude, it's okay, it's fine. But that all just fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
Like, it all just dissipated and became about him being like, you fans suck. You fans never liked me. You fans smell. I need to get injections. I need to wear a gas mask. And we all were like, this is rubbish. And then randomly, just turned babyface one week. And that was it. Then he was at the door.
Because he can. That was it. They just turned a baby face because they had given up on the entire storyline.
Yeah.
Just said, nah, let's just drop it.
Exactly. And so that, I think there's kind of like a lot of ill will towards Ambrose there. I mean, a lot of people kind of like cheering him as a hero because he was leaving.
Mm.
But there's a lot of that like 2 year period where we're like, oh, I'm sick of Wacky Dean. Sick of Wacky Dean. And then he became heel Wacky Dean and was really, really sick of it. But one of the stories he tells from that Wacky Dean period is where he got to TV and he was given this promo about what he had done that day. And what he had done that day was stuff that he would never have done. And it's all this like stupid stuff like eating pizza with homeless people and all this kind of like garbage stuff.
Yeah.
And the story tells that he went to Vince and were like, why am I saying this? And Vince is like, oh, it's good S. Like, this is what you do. This is who you are. This is you. You can't lose with this. And Mark's like, oh, so I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're not an idiot. You're this. So Vince never understood what his character was.
Not
he thought, he's Wacky Dean.
Yeah. And that's it. And once again, another thing that we've been saying for a long time is Vince is out of touch. Vince doesn't understand the characters that he's got. And it's another case where we're just like, see? This is it. This is what we're talking about.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And Mox says that he's got this. Vince has a Jedi mind trick.
Yeah. This was fascinating.
I found this to be so interesting. Yeah. Like, you'll go like storming into Vince's office being like, this is crap. But he has a way of at the end of it, you're like, maybe it's not as bad as I think. And you kind of walk out and then you do it and you're like, oh no, it was as bad as I thought.
It was terrible. I was right.
Yeah.
You should always really trust your gut instinct. But Vince McMahon has magical powers that override gut instincts, apparently.
Apparently so, yeah. And so we've kind of got a bit of a breakdown of the podcast, like beat by beat, which we're not going to go through beat by beat, but we'll sort of talk about like the big overarching aspects of this. And he talks about that promo there, but the other one was this, the pooper scooper promo, which is where he turned up to TV and he had 6 different promo segments that had to be done.
Which is ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous.
In and of itself.
In and of itself, absolutely. But one of the promos was he had to go out and insult the audience of LA. And the line that the writer, an actual writer, gave to him.
A professional writer.
And this isn't Vince. This isn't Vince writing. This was a professional writer within WWE. Wrote for him, I wouldn't come out to LA without a pooper scooper.
Yeah.
Or words to that effect. Like, Moxley can't remember the exact verbiage of it, but it was pooper scooper was the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this amazing line where he's like, Vince will turn nouns into props.
Yeah.
You've got to avoid nouns.
And it's so true. We've seen it so many times. When someone's just said a line and then, like, the next week after that, they'll come out with that thing and be like, look, it was this thing that I said last week.
Case in point is this, because Moxley managed to get it changed from pooper scooper to gas mask.
Mm-hmm.
What does he show up with the following week? A bloody gas mask. That became part of his character.
Oh, it was exactly right. And he had every reason to be suspicious about that line, and he knew what it would lead to, so he had to change it.
It's absolutely
ridiculous.
He also says there was a promo that he was meant to cut that featured a line about Roman's leukemia, so he was against using Roman's leukemia from the get-go, and which we kind of like talked about on the show a little bit when we were doing the Wrestle Ramble reviews of Raw, saying like it feels a bit on the nose.
Yeah.
But Vince's rationale behind it, according to Moxley, was we need to keep Roman part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to be honest, I still think is fair enough.
Yeah.
I just think that you needed to use Moxley's anger of Roman having leukemia to fuel his character, as opposed to I turned heel because Roman has leukemia.
Exactly.
And he's a bad person because of that.
Yeah. There's a line between, and that's, again, what Vince doesn't understand about the character. There's a line between being bad because someone has cancer and using that as part of a story. If you want to keep Roman part of the story, that's fine. Include him in subtle ways. Don't be like, Roman is bad. Leukemia, haha, sucks to be you. Like,
that's it, yeah. It's like his rationale was, Roman got leukemia because of all the bad stuff that we did, which I don't really like. It felt a bit hackneyed, a bit on the nose.
Yeah, it really did.
But there was one line apparently that the writers had given him and Vince had given him that Moxley would just flat out refuse to say.
I would not like to think what that line is.
It was a line that was so bad he wouldn't even say it on Jericho's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that if we'd have done it, the writer would have been fired and we would have lost sponsors.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what that line
was. Because we already heard some pretty bad stuff on the shows. Mm. If it was worse than that, that's got to be horrible.
Yeah.
That's got to be like wishing death upon someone or something to that effect, because that's got to be like really, really bad.
And like, bearing in mind as well, one of like WWE's key partnerships is with Susan G. Komen.
Exactly.
Like, so don't have these sorts of lines on your wrestling show.
You can't
show.
Do that.
But he said that it's funny as well. I remember when the story came out of Ambrose leaving, it was Pro Wrestling Torch were the first people to report it. Credit to Wade Keller for getting the story out first. Meltzer followed it up by saying, I've heard the same thing. And the key he doesn't like is he doesn't like doing hokey S-word.
Yeah.
And Moxie effectively says that in this interview where he calls it goofy crap.
Yeah.
It's the exact same wording, the exact same verbiage. So Meltzer was on the money when he had this report. But there's a great, great quote here from from Moxley in this interview where he says, talking about like how he went to Vince's office to complain about a promo that he'd been given. And he just sort of had to wait outside Vince's office because apparently this is like a weekly thing. You go to Vince's office, you have to wait outside because he's got meetings with 20 other people. And he's
no doubt other wrestlers complaining about their promos.
Yeah, quite. And he said, and this is the quote, leaning on a road case and feeling exhaustion, actual physical and emotional exhaustion. Not so much because of that day, but because of 6 years of this. 6 years of having to go to this man's office, this old man, and trying to explain to him why wearing a surgical mask is a stupid idea, why carrying a little red wagon to the ring is a stupid idea. I was done.
That is, you feel terrible for Moxley. Coming out at the end of this podcast, you feel awful for Moxley and all the things that he's had to go through for that, because I personally can't relate to, well, I can relate somewhat because I've been burnt out by various things before. Not to the extent where I've done them for 6 years, though, and had to go every single week to do the same thing time and time again. It must be horrible for him. For someone who has such a passion for this industry, someone who has such a huge amount of inspiration, and someone who's so creative as he is, to have that completely just cut off and be like, no, you're doing this.
Yeah.
It's got to be horrible for him.
I mean, you, as you say, you feel bad for him and you feel relieved that he's kind of out of that.
Yeah,
because
thank God.
He says, like, I'm the happiest I've ever been now. You know, I'm at the apex of my career. But he talks about, like, when he was working for WWE, feeling physically sick every single Monday and just lying in bed and staring at the ceiling because you have that pit in your stomach of being like, I don't want to go to work. And I've been in jobs where I've had that, where I've woken up Monday morning. Actually, I mean, on Sunday, I remember it was a previous job I had a few years back where I remember me and my then girlfriend, now wife, were watching something. All of a sudden, all I could think about was going to work on Monday.
Yes.
And I just sort of froze up and I said, I don't want to go. I cannot go to this job tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I was in an unfortunate position where I could go to that job and be like, I'm off, lads. I've had enough of this. I'm mentally and physically exhausted by this job and I've got to be out. This poor man was under contract for like X amount of years and had to sort of like just suffer through this. So it kind of sucks, but as I say, like it's almost relief that he's out of
exactly
this.
At the end, and then he's like, and then you remember at the end, he's like, he's an AEW now, yay, that's great.
And he has this moment where he talks about how WWE stops you being a wrestling fan, like it drives out that passion. And he talks about how, like, him, Cody, when he was in WWE, which is when he was doing the Stardust gimmick, would, applying his makeup, would just sit there and have the network on his iPad and would just watch old wrestling. We'd watch an old WCW show, an old 80s NWA show or something like that. And Moxley would go in there and just watch it with him. And the two of them would just talk like they're wrestling fans.
Yeah.
But he says you counter that to Vince. Vince isn't a wrestling fan anymore. It would seem that. And he said, you know, he's been doing this now for 40 years. So maybe his passion has gone for wrestling. And you kind of get that feeling, particularly with him selling a lot of his shares to get money to launch his football passion project that he's now had for 20 years.
Yeah, that's exactly what the phrase I was going to use. The XFL is his passion project. WWE is his thing that he has to do. That's his Monday 9-to-5 that he has to get up for that he doesn't want to do anymore.
Yeah.
But he's got to do it because he's got such a responsibility in the company. But then you counter that, though. If you think that he's lost his passion and he doesn't really want to do that anymore and he's got his passion project with the XFL, why does he micromanage everything?
Like, it turns out, I guess the way it is that Vince wants it done a certain way and he thinks that he knows best.
Yeah.
And it's that the Pro Wrestling Torch article that came out a couple of weeks ago from that writer that said WWE isn't writing for the WWE universe. It's writing for an audience of one, and that one man is Vince McMahon. He's the only person that matters in that company. If he likes it, then everything is fine. But you can't do anything unless it's to his specific requirements. Moxie talks about how, like, they'll do an angle or they'll finish a show and he'll walk backstage and he's like, that was awful, that sucked, but everyone is high-fiving each other. And I can picture Michael Hayes in particular going like, good job, boss, we got it, we nailed that one again, what another good show that we did.
Yep.
And it is just... it's like Punk said in 2014, he surrounds himself with yes men.
Mm-hmm.
Surrounds himself with people who just go like, oh, it's the John Laurinaitis.
John Laurinaitis, yeah.
What a great show, boss. You did an amazing job on that. I love working for this company.
Yeah.
And that's how WWE is. This isn't now Meltzer saying it. It's not Mike Johnson saying it. It's not Wade Keller saying it. This is someone who was at the top of WWE, a man who was definitely considered to be one of the top stars of that company, coming out and saying it is a terrible creative process. And as a wrestler, you have no creative input, not only on your promos or your storylines, your matches.
Yeah.
Because they have producers and they have these agents who map out the matches for you and say, go out and do this.
Yeah.
And again, to his point, I'm not an actor. I'm a wrestler. I'm a creative guy. I want to have my own creative moments in this.
Mm-hmm.
So no wonder we're watching Raw and SmackDown and watching these template matches that are just the same thing on repeat. WWE, watching Raw and SmackDown matches, occasionally you'll get a match that's like a Ricochet versus Cesaro where it's like, oh my God, this is completely different. Mm-hmm. Or you'll get something that's like, whoa, where did this come from? Every other match, it's like Scooby-Doo. Plant pop, picture frame, just running past it.
See, the thing is, the thing that makes those matches so special, Ricochet and Cesaro and things like that, is because every other match is the same. So when we get something that's even slightly different, we're like, oh my God, best thing ever! Best match in WWE history! Like, we go crazy because we're so conditioned to seeing the same match week in and week out, every single match. It is... It's soul draining. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is absolutely soul draining. So that's certainly from the creative side of thing, I would say that Moxley is 100% on the money. WWE's creative process sucks. If this is the way that it's running, and we should preface this with an if, because this is one man's story. Mm-hmm. There is perhaps another side to this tale. I don't think there is. But perhaps there is another side to this tale. It's most likely that there is. But let's play devil's advocate.
Yep.
There could be another side to this.
Let's Pritchard this one.
Let's Pritchard this.
Yeah.
There's always two sides to a story.
Mm.
So that's the creative side of this. The other side, and I found this story to be very, very interesting as well within the story he was telling. And it's the story about EC3.
Oh, God.
And it's so funny because I was there kind of recalling all of this EC3 stuff as he was talking about it.
Yeah.
EC3 called up in 2018, had no idea what they were doing with him. It was just a panic. We need to do some call-ups. Here's six NXT people.
Yep.
What are we doing with them? I don't know. Just do stuff. Don't know what we're doing. Well, put them on TV. They're on their way to WWE. And it took like 6 weeks for them to do actually anything with them. They were just playing the same videos over and over again. And they... EC3 was a guy who was a mute for a while. Then he was on Alexa Bliss's segment.
Yeah.
Then he did get into a feud with Ambrose. And he
briefly
beat Ambrose. He beat Dean Ambrose when Ambrose was still a heel. And he beat him in a couple of minutes.
Yep.
And it was like his first match on the main roster. I think it was his first match on the main roster. And it was this big like thing. It's like, whoa, EC3 just beat Dean Ambrose, a former WWE champion. Maybe we're going to get some momentum going for EC3 here.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is that WWE had announced that Moxley was leaving.
Yeah.
They had put out that unprecedented press release to say Dean Ambrose is leaving WWE when his contract expires. So Dean Ambrose and EC3 then have to do this match on the house show loop, as you would do, because you're building a feud around them.
Yeah.
And Dean is still working heel, EC3 is working babyface, and Moxley says, I was doing everything I could to get the crowd to boo me, but I was a hero because I'm leaving WWE, so I'm escaping this place, and I'm cheered as the biggest babyface on the show. So you think, so you're a company, right? You get these house show reports back. What do you think when you get that report back?
What, the Moxley is a babyface and EC3 can't get cheered? That one. What do you do with that? I don't know. Maybe separate him in a feud or turn Moxley babyface.
Yeah, something like you would look at that and be like, well, okay, well, this makes sense, I guess, because we announced that Dean is leaving, so he's going to get this sort of reaction. We really should have seen this coming. Maybe it's a bit of an error on our part, but we'll work something out. Maybe we can use this to turn EC3. He was a heel anyway. We were kind of...
Yeah.
His video package presents him as a heel. He was a heel in NXT.
That video.
So let's, like, we could probably do something with this. No. It's EC3's fault.
Yeah,
it's EC3's fault. You couldn't get over as a babyface. So Moxley beats him. Ambrose beats him on TV in a couple of minutes. And that's it. EC3's dead.
Yeah.
So what was the point? What was the point in all of this? What was the point in bringing EC3 up if you had no plan A? What was the point if you're going to give him his big win and then just look at the house show circuit and be like, that can't work, let's pin him the following week and give up on him? Like, that's a 2 month period where you've got three steps and you've just given up.
Yeah.
And you compare that to Roman. And you You compare that to Roman, where they were like, he's our biggest babyface ever. The crowd sure as heck doesn't agree, but we're going to keep pushing him like he's the biggest babyface ever. And they are just sticking to their guns, be like, nope, it's Michael Hayes and that Royal Rumble documentary. It's a burned the back of my retinas. When he was booed unmercifully at the 2014 Royal Rumble. Mm. It wasn't the 2015 Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Thank you. And they walk backstage, and you've got Michael Hayes sitting there with his little hat on, and he's just like, you can't book for one city. With Roman, I guess, but when it's EC3, nah, bury that kid, can't get over as a babyface against the guy that we announced is leaving.
It's absolutely absurd.
It's baffling.
Yeah, it really is. It makes zero sense. God forbid I ever get a job with WWE, because I think I'll drive myself insane in that place.
We've had like messages on Twitter, and we've had them in the super chats when we do the rambles. We've had them on the Patreon as well, and being like, "Would you take a writing job with WWE?" No, absolutely
God, no.
Not 100% not.
No.
And someone came that was like, "Well, would you work with NXT?" I was like, "You mean you'd get there for a while? Then you get promoted to the main roster.
Yeah.
It's like a gateway drug. Like I'm not taking that either."
You gotta do a really mediocre job in NXT. Not too bad that you get fired, not too good that you get promoted to the main roster. You can't be having that.
Poor old Ryan Ward, he probably had a whale of a time in NXT.
Look at
it now, he's probably eight in life.
Oh, God.
So it was a fascinating, fascinating interview. I would say
it was amazing.
It's the most interesting podcast since Punk's.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since the Punk Cabana podcast. Mm-hmm. This was a fascinating look inside the inner workings of WWE and kind of like the crazy nonsense that we hear. And it is, as you said, it's vindication for wrestling fans that we were like, oh, cool. So we're not just being whiny, complaining millennials as bloody WWE like to think that we are. It is just one crazy old man who thinks he knows is right, and he is just forcing everyone into his way of thinking.
Yeah. It really is. And it is such a shame because the WWE roster is one of the most talented rosters in the world. If not the most talented roster in the world. And they've turned them into basic templates of nothingness. They have sapped all the creativity and all the talent from these people and just made them WWE clones.
Yeah.
It's awful.
So the question is, is Moxley right about WWE?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
That's my sum up to this. Yeah, he's right.
Like, I mean, to be honest, in fairness, like, I think the ratings would show that as well.
Yeah.
Ratings took a massive hit for Raw this week. This Raw that you'd have thought, oh, they're going to come out all guns blazing because of Double or Nothing.
After Double or Nothing.
90 minutes before we got an actual wrestling match on a three-hour show. It was like Nitro.
It's because Vince doesn't care. And he's like, well, we won the Monday Night Wars before, so we'll just keep doing the same thing for another 40 years. Yeah, we'll be fine.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you want to submit your question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers over on Patreon and leave a comment in the community section. Do not email me. I will lose it. I'm very bad at this. Also, if you do become one of our pledge hammers, you will get access to compete for this, the prestigious Trophy Emoji Trophy, which goes to the winner of Wrestle League. Three of them went out to the winners of last season, and this one here belongs to El Fake Delorey Blake, who's currently who he was the winner of season one in The Office. Curse you. Sorry, he's not winning now.
No,
Ollie's.
Not anymore. Ollie's in front for now.
Bottom of the class, this guy right here. You'll also get access to Wrestle Ramble Extra, where Ollie and I review classic pay-per-views from the history books of wrestling for about sort of 3 to 4 hours. And Ramble Club, which we recorded yesterday and went live yesterday, which is going to feature not one, not two, not three, but five members of the Wrestle Talk team. Obviously not Ollie, because he's not here on Friday, doing business stuff. Oh, no, he's not. He's on stag do. He's on his bachelor party weekend. Not his bachelor
party.
He's
having fun.
He's on a bachelor party weekend. Dare he. But it is me, Laurie, Randy, housemate Simon, and yourself chatting nonsense for a good hour and a half. Well worth checking out. But anyway, let's get to the mailbag. This one comes in from James Dillon, and it is a longer question than we would normally have. But
okay.
He does specify. He says, I know this is a longer mailbag, but I tried to do as much research as possible so you won't have to Google things live on air.
Wow, very considerate of you.
Which is very considerate, yes. Many wrestling fans are counting down the days until Vince McMahon steps away from wrestling to focus on the 2020 XFL revival. Fans are hoping this will be Triple H's golden opportunity to turn WWE around. Now, I think that's presumptuous.
It is, a little bit.
I do agree that I think Vince McMahon probably will put more focus into XFL, because the reason he gave for the XFL failing the first time around is that he had his time split between that and WWE. So perhaps there is, but we don't know that Triple H is going to be taken over. A lot of this is presumptions. I think they're pretty strong presumptions, but thought I'd just put that out there. But I don't think the XFL will last very long. The first run only lasted one season. Last year, we were introduced to the AAF, the Alliance of American Football. This league had 8 teams and was scheduled to play a 10-week schedule that would lead into the playoffs. It made it 8 weeks before suspending games, firing all of the players, cancelling their medical insurance, and basically abandoning them in whatever city they happened to be playing for. The first run of the XFL was also a failure, even with the rule change that was designed to make the games a more intense experience. That was almost 20 years ago, and now a mixture of science, lawsuits, and players speaking up, the rules are changing in the NFL to make the game safer. If Vince tries to make the game more barbaric, it's going to rival in this revival, sponsors may not respond favorably. My prediction is Vince fronts most of the money himself. The leader is popular in the opening weeks due to curiosity. A couple of weeks in, Vince starts doing Vince things to it to make it more WWE, a tactic that topped the list of criticism of the original run. Today's investors back out because they see the league being actually worse than the AAF, and by 2021, we'll see Vince return to the WWE extreme bitter and panic booking in attempt to make back some of the money he lost. So with all of that in mind, what's your perfect Sunday? Well, my perfect Sunday would be lazing in bed with me wife and then maybe getting up, watching an episode of The Good Place with a full English breakfast filled with sausages, some scrambled tofu. That sounds like a good way to spend a Sunday. Nice cup of tea.
Yeah, I think mine would probably be similar. Mine would just be a full Sunday roast, because you can't beat a Sunday roast.
Cannot beat a Sunday roast. Go down the pub for a Sunday roast as well.
Go down the pub, Sunday roast, come back, watch a film.
Yes.
Cuddle up.
Yeah.
Good fun.
Watch Ant-Man and fall asleep.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Perfect.
But to your point, it's very interesting, actually, because this is the one thing I don't think a lot of us have considered. I hadn't considered until James's mailbag question.
Mm-hmm.
It's Vince's returns.
Yeah.
We're all going like, well, once the XFL runs, ding dong, the witch is dead, off Vince pops. But if that all goes nipples north, he's just going to come back.
Yeah.
And we're back in the same. He's going to come in and be like, the hell are you done here, pal?
Yeah.
Where's the script?
Exactly.
And we're back to where we were 2 years previous.
Yeah. I think literally the only thing that might throw a spanner in those plans of Vince coming back and just taking right back over is if it gets dramatically better in the time that Vince is gone. Let's say he goes away to XFL. It lasts for a year, tops.
Or a season, as they might call
it. A season. We'll go for one calendar year to make my maths work. he's away for a year. And in that time, Triple H takes over. He does something that makes the program dramatically better, starts, you know, making stars, maybe brings up like Undisputed Era or something like that, and they change the program and they get the ratings up dramatically. Let's say they go from like, what are they on, like a 1 point,
so SmackDown,
1 point terrible.
Well, SmackDown this week did over 2 million viewers.
Cool.
And Raw did 2.1.
2.1?
It was down 13% from the previous week.
Okay. So let's say he gets it up to maybe, this is incredibly optimistically speaking, let's say he gets up to like a 3.5 million viewers, something like that, in the time that Vince is gone. Do you think if Vince came back and said, and he came back and he goes, right, what's been going on? 3.5 million viewers. Huh. Doing pretty good. What have you been doing?
And then I don't get it.
Yeah, and Triple H is like, well, we've done this, this, and this. And Vince is like, huh, we'll keep doing that. Doubtful, but you know. Do you think it could happen? I think the only thing that could sway Vince is if ratings were better. If something had dramatically improved, like drastically improved in terms of ratings or profit or something, some sort of number that has increased massively other than people not watching, other than that number, I think that might sway Vince's mind into not doing what he's done.
But maybe not. I was going to say, I think with WWE at this point, because they've driven off such a huge portion of their audience, and it has driven away viewers to their product.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just going to be a case of Triple H takes over, makes some changes, things improve. I think it is going to, what it's going to take for WWE now is for a star to catch fire.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to find that one. They need to find their Steve Austin that captures the imagination of an audience, and they just run with that person. I mean, granted, we possibly could have had that with Becky Lynch. We possibly could have had it with Kofi Kingston.
We had it.
So, but I think that with the Becky and Kofi are good examples, but they were, I think even if they hadn't been like, had the sort of like botched runs in the lead up to WrestleMania, Kofi less so, but Becky certainly, neither of them were still breaking into that mainstream the way that Austin did, the way that Austin just became like a megastar. And that's what I mean, is they need an Austin level megastar to turn this ship around.
Yeah. I don't know who that could be.
Well, maybe it's Adam Cole, baby.
Maybe.
He's No Jackass Dano says, a quick question for you. What are your thoughts on Moxley's appearance on Talk Is Jericho? And what's your perfect Sunday? Thanks for a grand weekend. Not making that up. We genuinely had two mailbag questions that ended with, what's your perfect Sunday?
That's amazing.
But yeah, I thought Moxley was great. Yeah. Well, it was a really, really fascinating.
I mean, we've already covered it in detail, but it was great.
It's fascinating. Yeah. Brendan M says, how do I get my lady partner to look at me the way Luke looks at Hangman Page at the WrestleGate Pro Show? Love the content. Keep up the consistency. Man, get some cowboy boots. That's what it is. Do some cowboy shit. You said the word there. Do some cowboy poop. Razman's Reality has said, I've been thinking about what Hulk Hogan did for WCW back in the day. Now, I do want to preface this. So we've got a backlog of mailbag questions because we didn't do a magazine show last week because we were doing the Double or Nothing live stream. So Raz's question here, and I think a couple of others might have come before Double or Nothing took place. So bear that in mind. I've been thinking about what Hulk Hogan did for WCW back in the day for bringing in casual fans. Does AEW have someone out there can do this for them either Saturday or when their TV starts? There might be an obvious candidate for this that I'm not thinking, but the only person I could think of would be CM Punk, but he's been gone for so many years now in the mainstream. Would those fans really care to see him? Jon Moxley, I don't think, is big enough to be that guy in their eyes. What do you guys think? So I would say with AEW is, they are not looking to find someone who can come in and be that star like WCW did with Hogan. They are looking to create that star.
Exactly.
Their whole deal is about signing these names that you might not know. We've got some names that the hardcore wrestling fans will know, like your Omegas, your Young Bucks, your Pages, and things like that. But they've also signed a lot of guys that you might not have heard of. Mm-hmm. But the aim being, you will know these names. And one of those guys or girls might catch fire and become their Hulk Hogan.
Exactly, yeah. I think, yeah, WCW's whole thing originally, well, I say this, I wasn't around at the time. This is what I've heard was happening.
Were you born again, Pete?
1993.
Oh, right.
So I would have been a bit young for the Monday Night Wars.
The year of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's what 1993 is well known for. Yeah, what I've heard WCW aim to do was, from the get-go, they wanted to beat WWF. That was the thing. They didn't just want to be like, oh, we're just competition, you know, just friendly rivalry or whatever. It was like, no, we need to kill these guys. We need to beat them at their own game. So we're going to take all the talent we can. We're going to get Hogan. We're going to get all these mainstream stars. And we're going to make WCW the best thing that's out there. WWF will die off. AEW's thing, and that's a lot of what talent have said. This is what Tony Khan has said. They've just said, we just want an alternative to WWE. We want to do what we know is wrestling. Because what WWE is doing isn't wrestling. We want to put on wrestling. Yeah. So, and I think they're not looking, while they've got Chris Jericho, while they've got Jon Moxley, while they've got Cody Rhodes, all these former WWE guys, that's not their it's not the be-all and end-all. These are just guys that are frustrated in WWE who want to do their own thing and who want to wrestle. They're not looking to poach some stars from WWE and be like, look, we've got WWE guys. Aren't we great? Sure, it's nice to have one or two or three to, you know, get their name out to some people who might help discover the brand, but the idea behind it is to put on some good wrestling shows, not to kill WWE.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think like they would like it if WWE were to stay in business because that's competition. Competition drives people to be the best version of themselves.
Exactly, yeah.
And in reality, the only person that AEW could get that would be like that Hogan-level guy is Cena.
Yeah, that's literally
it. And it's not like John Cena is going to go to AEW.
Not
John Cena to AEW, confirmed. It's very unlikely at this point. So I think that's probably the only guy that you can get that's Hogan level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Derek Jones asks, Kofi Kingston will, with each win, will become more and more confident, especially by beating Brock Lesnar. Over time, he will slowly turn heel as he becomes obsessed with being the greatest WWE champion possible, claiming the New Day is holding him back, trying to brutalize his opponents on the show to show his superiority. Thought. No.
Nope.
No, thank you. I do not want to see heel Kofi Kingston as WWE champion. I do not want to see the New Day break up. The act is fine. We don't need a Big E heel turn. We don't need a New Day heel turn. The act is fine.
If you want to break up New Day, which I don't think you should, if you want to break them up, then just have them go, this has been fun. We'll go our separate ways. Yeah. And that's it. You don't need a heel turn. No. That's it. Just have them all be faces and go off on the separate ways, or just keep them together because they're better.
And also, as well, like the top of the show, we've been talking about like a lot of WWE stars. We didn't actually go into Meltzer had this very interesting quote on Wrestling Observer Radio. Let me just grab it for you now. It was in my script. There's way more wrestlers that you are not aware of. He's talking about the amount of people who are looking for alternatives because they're also creatively frustrated the same way that Moxley was. His quote was, there are way more wrestlers that you are not aware of. I would go as far to say that there are very few people, you can count them on one or two hands, that have not at least inquired regarding what's outside, including names that would shock you.
Ooh.
So so I'm thinking there with that question, do you know who's happy at the moment? Probably New Day. You know what's not going to make them happy? Splitting them up and having them work against each other.
Yeah, which is exactly the kind of thing that WWE would do.
Lorenzo Hayes says, to Luke, why are you so mean to Randy? I like you on the panel a lot because I agree with your opinions on wrestling a lot, and you seem really cool, but ever since Randy came in, you've been kind of mean. I hope you don't get mad at this question because I still like you a lot and think you're awesome. Well, thank you, Lorenzo. It's weird, I've been painted with this brush that I'm the mean one to Randy. Anyone, if you listen to this podcast, Ollie installed the rule that you're not allowed to say hello to him if you email in.
Indeed.
I didn't install that rule.
No, that was all Ollie.
Ollie. Yeah. Ollie's way meaner than I am.
And I'm not mean to Randy, so let's just put that one on record. I'm very nice to him.
We're not mean to Randy, really. It's just, it was a way to get him over.
It was a meme.
And it's worked.
Is what it was.
It was a meme.
Yeah.
Dwayne Cooley says, hello, WrestleTalk and Swaff Nation. Ollie and Luke, if there was a decision to arise in the fall, which option would you choose? Option one, still watch WWE and put out the same content and cover AEW along with it. Or option two, only cover AEW in independent shows such as New Japan, Ring of Honor, and others. No watching WWE except maybe NXT because that's still good. And come up with other content to release on WrestleTalk. If option two is chosen, would it be easy to break away from WWE Vortex and not be conditioned to watch WWE program every week? I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch SmackDown this week and it was the easiest thing in the world. genuinely was. I woke up, didn't even think, better watch SmackDown.
Yeah.
Didn't even think, probably better read what happened on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Or watch the clips. I woke up and was like, nah, I'm not watching it.
Yeah.
And because I didn't have to. And it was terrific.
Yeah. I mean, so if we had our own way, I think we would probably pick option two and just cover AEW, cover independent shows, and we'd be happy as Larry. Problem is, we do need to make some sort of money.
it's not just that sort of it, because you are right. Like, it's, but the thing with AEW and covering New Japan and Ring of Honor is what you're doing with that is you're shutting out those people that do like WWE.
Exactly.
And do watch WWE regularly and want to hear our thoughts on the WWE product. And there are people out there who are diehard WWE fans.
Absolutely.
And so you can't just sever that audience, which I would argue is 75% of our audience. You can't just sever them off and ignore what they want from this channel. So we're going to have to still cover WWE, even if we don't like it, which often I don't.
Yeah.
We're still going to have to cover it because that is our bread and butter. And exactly. That's what the majority of our audience wants to see.
It's what the channel is built off.
Exactly.
That's what the fan base is.
And you can see that when we do our live streams, WWE ones did very, very well. The NXT one did very, very well. We did New Japan Ring of Honor. No one watched it.
Yeah.
The number is embarrassing compared to what WrestleMania and TakeOver did. Absolutely embarrassing. And that was their biggest show in the West.
Like ever.
Yeah.
Right?
And the whole chat was just filled with people talking about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So even in the chat, for a show for New Japan and Ring of Honor, people were still talking about WWE and just letting us know what was happening at the Hall of Fame.
It's crazy.
So
I think when we're in this bubble and we're on like the internet fans, and of course the people that will, you know, message in and the people that will email in, generally they're going to be the more hardcore fans, and generally they're going to know about the independent scene, they're going to know about New Japan and AEW and stuff like that. Just yesterday, I went with my friend to CrossFit. I tried CrossFit for the first time yesterday.
Brag.
My legs are feeling it. And she had only kind of recently got back into WWE, and then she kind of fell off a bit. And then she was talking to me yesterday about it, and she is super back into WWE again. And she was just like, oh yeah, I heard about AEW, heard about Double or Nothing, but like, I haven't watched it or anything. But then she's like, oh, I'm such a massive fan of Braun Strowman and all that stuff. All this WWE stuff. And then it's moments like those when you realize, it's just like, wow, I really am like a small percentage of wrestling fans where I know about like all of wrestling.
We
need to focus on that WWE.
We met a really nice guy. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we met a really nice guy at the Prince Charles show we did when we did Ready to Rumble, who said, why don't you cover more British wrestling? I was like, well, we'd love to.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of part of the WrestleGate Pro thing that we're trying to do, and like support independent wrestling. It's like, we want to be able to do more of that. Problem is, if we just completely changed our business model and focused solely on that, ratings for our show would absolutely plummet.
Yeah,
because it appeals to a much, much smaller audience than WWE. And we talk about how WWE's ratings are falling. It's still 2 million viewers.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still the most watched wrestling on the planet.
Yeah.
So you are going to have to cave that, even if we don't like it. So to answer your question, Dwayne, we'll most likely we'll still be covering WWE.
Oh, yeah.
But what I would say about AEW, to put them over a little bit more, one of the things that thrilled me about our Double or Nothing live stream, that got the same level of numbers that WrestleMania did.
Fantastic.
Same level of engagement. So that says to us, when we're watching this and when we do AEW videos, they do similar numbers to WWE ones. That is a company that when they launch on TV in October, we will want to do weekly, particularly as well, because SmackDown's moved to Friday and I'm not coming on a Saturday.
Exactly.
Owen asks, who do you think had the most successful push on the main roster from where they were in NXT to where they are now, if they were top in NXT and were top now in the same position? I think Elias, he pretty much had, as a nothing guy, is now one of Raw and SmackDown's frequently used stars. Hang on. So if they were at NXT to where they are now, if they were on top in NXT and on top in Raw, they're in the same position. So, I see what you're saying.
Someone who's improved the most.
Yeah. Elias is definitely that. Lacey Evans is another one.
I'd say Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss is a great shout.
Yeah. Like she went from an undercard women's talent or a manager with Blake and Murphy. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much straight away, she was SmackDown Women's Champion in like a month.
Yeah, pretty much. Being hot and blonde, it certainly helps.
Uh-huh.
Alex Kirkman says, so listen to this and bear with me.
Okay, here we go.
It's one of those questions.
Yeah.
In a few months, when the 24/7 belt is a bit more established, give it to someone strong, for example, Braun Strowman. Then, and let's just imagine he signed a deal where he's on TV every week, Brock Lesnar cashes in Money in the Bank and wins the 24/7 belt. Then every week you can have a different kind of matches. Week by week, everyone tries to beat him. There would be an interest in the belt and people could use the belt different methods to try and win. It would be like the John Cena Open Challenge and a mini Taker-esque streak as one by one wrestlers try to take it from him. It'll last a few months until he loses to someone strong with interference or in order to start a feud. Thoughts? I'll stand by for the backlash. I think people are putting far too much stock into the 24/7 title. It is a joke belt.
It's a nothing belt.
It is a nothing belt. It was something for the lower mid-carders to do because WWE just didn't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it is only for... If you are at a certain level, if you are at a Finn Balor-style level, you are not within an arse's roar of that 24/7 belt because it is way, way below your station.
Yep.
You've only got to look at when they had Drew McIntyre, Elias, and Shane McMahon in the ring. Who's the one who pinned him? Elias, the lowest person on that pecking order that's in the ring. Drew didn't want the belt. Shane didn't want the belt. They gave it to Elias because it's a joke belt.
Mm-hmm. And then later on in the night, Roman could have won it, but then he said, no, I want R-Truth to win.
I do not want to have that belt. Truth, you take it.
I do not want to lower myself to the level of this belt.
So, yeah, let's just put a pin in this. The 24/7 title is a joke.
Yeah.
It is just there to be a punchline.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm pretty sure that the Money in the Bank contract states it has to be a world title that you cash in for. So that's Universal and WWE and no others.
Yeah.
So
Maybe NXT. John Smith, what has been your favorite debate slash moment on the Wrestle Ramble podcast intros and outros?
Oh, there's quite a few to choose from.
Civil Wardrobe was a good one.
Civil Wardrobe was great. Great is what it was.
We've currently got the alarm debate going on between people choosing to snooze. And
I've not been able to... Oh, the alarm... See, I heard the very beginnings of the alarm debate, but I've not been able to listen to any podcast in forever, so I don't know about the alarm debate and what other people have been saying about it.
It's raging on with people with various different opinions on how you should use an alarm to get up in the morning. Okay. What's another good one I just thought of then? Ah, well, Ollie's hatred of people using the term walking as exercise.
Oh, I mean, I've already shared my opinion about that on the NXT Ramble occasionally.
Yes. Yeah. Ollie thinks that walking is not exercise. And people have been emailing in a lot to say that he's wrong.
And he is wrong.
So we've had some good debates. I particularly enjoyed the Civil Wardrobe because that was one where I knew I was wrong. Yeah. But I was just continually arguing my corner that I was right.
So remind me again the key points from the Civil Wardrobe.
Civil Wardrobe, a standardized size for clothes. So I don't have to go in and be like, a 32 in this shop is not a 32 in this shop, or a 32 in this jean in this same shop is different to a 32 in short in the same shop.
Yeah.
Like, that is demonstrably stupid.
I agree with you.
Yes!
I am on Luke's side in the Civil Wardrobe.
It is so silly. Anyway,
it is very silly.
Ikarali says, which wrestler would you like to host the Wrestle Ramble with?
Wrestler would I like to host the Wrestle Ramble with?
David Starr would be fun.
David Starr would be very fun.
David Starr would be great. Zack Sabre Jr. I just really want to be friends with
Xavier
Zack Sabre
Woods.
Jr. Xavier Woods would be great. Yeah, if we're going WWE, really Xavier, like absolutely, Xavier Woods would be an incredible shout. Mm. Oh, he'd be amazing. Having him on Screen Stalker would be so much
fun.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah. We'll put a call in. Xavier, call me. Anthony Marine said, I'm trying to think if there's anyone else who I'd like to have on. Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle would be
Riddle would be great, yeah.
Yeah.
Wrestle Talk fan, Matt Riddle.
He is, absolutely. Yeah. Keith Lee as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Keith Lee would love to be on this show. Hi, Luke and Ollie. I don't imagine Pete. I was thinking of a way to change up Raw and try to boost lower card talent instead of a 24/7 belt. They should just book straight up exhibition matches with the lower card in between main segments of the show, where just before the match would have a 30-second non-scripted promo on screen to put themselves and their exhibition match over. Then maybe have their entrances. I think it's a great way to boost up lower mid card, and who knows, maybe get some of them over. Plus, you get more wrestling on the wrestling shows. Thoughts? Good. Like it.
Why don't they do this anyway? Like,
simple idea.
It's literally that. It's just like, yeah, exhibition match. If they just say, you've got 5-10 minutes, go have fun.
Yeah.
Like we were saying before when we were talking about the Moxie podcast and stuff, these are wrestlers. They're creative. They know their characters. They know what looks good. They know what looks bad. They know what works for them. They know what doesn't work for them. Work out a match between two people and let them go nuts. They will get over. We've seen it so many bloody times. We saw it with Kofi Kingston earlier in the year. He got over because of a gauntlet match. It was an in-ring segment that got him over. We've seen it with like Cesaro and Ricochet now. People are like, oh, these guys are great. It's like, yeah, because they're really good wrestlers. Wrestling gets people over. Please do more wrestling.
I think it's a great idea. It's also a way to maybe one of these guys will catch fire.
Yeah, exactly.
And the crowd will really get behind them. Like a Chad Gable would really benefit from something like this. Just go in there and announce it. It's like, this has a 10-minute time limit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can build storylines off the back of that.
Exactly. Look at like Buddy Murphy. His entire run, he got over because he was a really great wrestler during his Cruiserweight Championship run.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's on SmackDown and never to be seen again.
Is he on SmackDown?
Supposed to be on SmackDown. Never to be seen again, but he got over during that time. And everyone was looking forward to Buddy Murphy matches because he's really bloody good.
Buddy Murphy is this year's sanity.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah.
Sanity. It's been 2 months, still not debuted.
No.
He'll come in and then...
Apart from in an ad break, which we don't see.
Yeah, he'll be quickly forgotten about. Poor old Buddy Murphy.
I know.
Matt Noble says, you're in charge of AEW talent acquisition and you're given the budget and the way to bring in any 10 WWE contracted wrestlers, personnel for AEW, that's 5 each. Who do you bring across?
Given the budget and the way to bring any 10 WWE guys, what, 5 each?
I'm counting tags as one.
Okay, yeah.
Revival Usos.
Yep.
I'm thinking Gargano. I'm thinking Seth. And I'm thinking Ricochet.
Okay.
Oh, Andrade. Who? No, okay, so I had Revival Usos. Who was my third one?
Gargano.
Gargano. Okay, I'm going to take out Seth.
Okay.
I'm going to have Andrade instead. Okay. Andrade and Ricochet.
Cool. Trying not to repeat everything that you just said, because I also want most of those.
Well, it's fine, because it's a combined list.
But it said 10, and it's 5 each.
Yeah, 5 each to make 10.
Okay, right.
So it is a combined list.
Kevin Owens.
Yep.
Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
Tommaso Ciampa, if he's good enough to wrestle eventually. I'll go Seth, because you took him out. Let's think. Chad Gable.
Chad Gable's a great show, yeah. Mm. There's names on there that we could have, like Aleister Black's a name that we didn't get.
Alistair
Matt Riddle, Keith Lee.
Yep.
There is this company has an incredible roster of talent. We didn't even mention any of the women wrestlers. Shayna Baszler, I'd have loved to have taken across.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Bayley, I'd love to see them all across.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Anyway. So much talent.
Robert Ray says, first, I would like to thank you for making my 9-hour trip to and from London to watch the WWE the other week with the classic pay-per-views. Forgot to say thank you. You're very bloody welcome. Who would you say has the best roster, TNA 2005 to Hogan Bischoff era or the early life of AEW? As TNA was WWE's big competitor in the mid-2000s, now AEW is likely to be the next big wrestling competitor to the WWE. So you're looking at TNA 2005 era up till the Hogan Bischoff era. So you got guys in there like Styles, Joe, Daniels, Angle, Sting, Jarrett, Amazing Red, Shark Boy, Abyss, Judas Messias. not everyone was great. Christian. They had a very, very strong lineup, particularly because they had the likes of, I would say that almost holy trinity of AJ, Daniels, and Joe.
Mm-hmm.
That amazing unbreakable match, and they were really sort of like amped up the exhibition. They took what ROH were doing and put it on a slightly bigger platform. Actually, a much bigger platform. So I would say they had a very, very good lineup, particularly because no one was doing that sort of wrestling mm-hmm. in WWE.
Yeah.
It's very hard to compare, really, that to like AEW's roster now. The reason why I say it's so difficult is because wrestling is such a different landscape now. Whereas TNA were doing that on like a pretty big scale and a lot of eyes getting onto that product. There are hundreds of promotions that are doing all of this now. It's just that, and they're doing it so, so well. Wrestling is on another level to what it was 10, 15 years ago. And there's just a lot more of it. It's very difficult to decide.
I know, yeah. And I mean, the AEW roster currently, it's got some absolutely top stars in it. You know, Kenny Omega and Young Bucks and Lucha Bros. And you've got Jericho and now Moxley and Rhodes and Dustin. And there's lots and lots of people. But I still think where AEW's strength lies is more in the unknowns than it is the stars. There's all these people that obviously they have the faith in to sign to their company. So I don't think AEW's strength comes from having multiple top guys. It's having a huge undercard of also strong talent. I wasn't around it for TNA 2005, so I'm not sure what kind of, you know, their undercard guys were like. But I would say probably that AEW's current one is stronger throughout rather than being so top heavy, if that makes sense.
And to your point, and I'm going to agree with you, I'm going to pick AEW in this because, mm-hmm. as I said, like wrestling is on another level to what it was 10, 15 years ago. And AEW is at the top of that game with the talent that they've got. So I think it's going to be a very, very strong roster. Ryan Zovko says, my question is, what are the best wrestling promotions that put their matches to watch online for free? I want to branch out just watching the WWE wrestling bubble, but as I just graduated from college and therefore balling on a budget, I'd appreciate the guidance. Love and appreciate all the content you guys put out. It makes my time grinding out to become a Rocket League coach that much more enjoyable. I haven't told you how much I hate Rocket League.
What a save from that advert. Why do you hate Rocket League?
It's just a boring game. And I know people get really narky at me when I say this and like when I mention this on videos and stuff, but like it doesn't require that much skill. Like it's very much based on luck.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some skill in it, but I can think of other more skillful games off the top of my head. Tiddlywinks being one of them.
I am not a fan of the old Rocket League. Not to downplay your ability, your wants to be a Rocket League coach.
Best of luck to you.
But the question about best wrestling promotions that put their matches out for free is difficult because I don't know if there are like that many that are putting full matches online for free. OTT will put some stuff out. Rev Pro will put some stuff out.
Defiant
do it a lot, yeah. But it's usually like a month after it is. So if you're trying to like keep up to it on a week-to-week basis, which I think people within a WWE bubble like to be able to do, that's when it becomes very difficult because you end up sort of 30 days behind the current storylines or anything like that.
So the question is, it's just, I would say, find out wrestlers that you've heard about that you want to see more of and search for those.
Yeah.
Because then you might find places that they've worked and that might lead you on to other matches that that company does. So rather than start with the company, start with the star.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I'm pretty sure if you did want like a week to week one, I know Defiant's current season, I think, is about to come to a close, but I'm pretty sure they do 4 weeks of tapings in one go and then release them week on week. And then the next lot, they'll release week on week. So I'm pretty sure that's a continuous set if you wanted like a full storyline of it. But I think that's their next season about to come to a close. So
yeah,
who knows?
Maybe go with Defiant.
Yeah.
Owen Newton says, I have a theory, hard to explain. Raw and SmackDown are not designed to be watched weekly. If they're averaging 2 million viewers a week, but probably have around 6 million fans, mostly casual, then in theory, Raw and SmackDown are being watched on average once every 3 weeks.
I don't know if that math works out. I'm not sure if
that math works out. It's like if they have 2 million viewers a week, but they probably have around 6 million fans. That's where your math falls down.
That's a number just plucked out of nothing right there.
You're starting to lose me a bit here, Owen. Then in theory, Raw and SmackDown are being watched on average once every 3 weeks. I think this is why they book the shows to be repetitive. It's to allow the casual fan to catch up. If they only concentrate on the hardcore fans, loyal fans, they would lose a larger portion of their viewers' thoughts. I'm sorry.
Disagree.
I'm going to disagree only because this 6 million fans you have just created.
Yeah, out of nothingness. And also, if shows aren't designed to be watched weekly, that's a whole lot of TV shows that you're not supposed to watch weekly. Like, Game of Thrones. Can't watch that one weekly. Like,
yeah. I'm sorry, I can't get on board with that theory. Yeah. Ryan B says, do you think that the Kevin Dunn line was a shot at AEW for some of their bad camera work? No, I think it was to get heel heat for Shane McMahon because he was praising a guy that the hardcore audience doesn't like.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Juan Gabriel says, so this Saturday is my birthday and I get one hell of a birthday gift. One, it's TakeOver 25. Two, I don't have to work on neither that day or Sunday. And three, I get WrestleTalk News, the Saturday podcast. And four, I just moved to a new place and I'll be having a small party. My mailbag question is thus, do you think Undisputed Era should win every match at TakeOver 25 to solidify their claim from the beginning of the year? Thank you for always being amazing and making me feel like I'm part of a bigger family. P.S. Annie is my favorite lad from The Office and Chopper Pete is my number two guy. Love you guys. Heart emoji, kiss face emoji. Well, I mean, I hope they win two of the three, and I hope it's the two of the three that I guessed.
Yeah, I've got a theory that I don't think I talked about when we did predictions. So I've put all of Undisputed Era to lose at this show. But I still think they're going to win all the titles. And I think that'll be at the next TakeOver. They'll find their ways. They'll worm their ways into title matches and stuff. When they're actually competing for all of the titles, that's when they'll win. Because currently, Strong isn't vying for a title. So I think they need to have all of them vying for titles in the same night. That's when they'll do it. And they get all the titles in one night.
Interesting. I'm still hoping that my predictions are right because I need the points.
Cole Gargano 3 is where Cole wins.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Crinius says, rank from bad to worst.
Bad to worst.
Amazing. I mean, he's talking about stable names. Dogs of War, The Welcoming Committee, Baron Corbin's Midcard of Evil, The Omni Shane and His Lackeys. Or maybe they just mean like the actual factions themselves.
Yeah.
So Dogs of War was Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman and Dolph Ziggler.
Yep.
The Welcoming Committee was Charlotte. No, she wasn't.
Natalia?
She was on the Good Guys. Natalia, Carmella.
And Tamina?
Tamina and Lana.
Oh, was it four of them?
I think it was four of them.
Right.
Baron Corbin's Midcard of Evil, which was Baron, Drew, and
Bobby
Splashley. And the Omni Shane, which is currently Shane Drew,
and Elias.
Elias. Poor old Drew.
Drew.
They've got four, groups here, and he's a part of bloody all of them, and he's not the leader in any of them. What a terrible run that he's had. I mean, I'm going to put the Welcoming Committee at the bottom of all this because they were completely pointless. They were so pointless, they managed to make the League of Nations look like they had a point.
I know, yeah.
At least they feuded with Roman.
Genuinely, if someone said to me at one point, like, this was, I think, before I started working here, I didn't really know that the Welcoming Committee existed. That's how bad it was. They were barely ever, like, mentioned on TV. It was like, did you know that the Welcoming Committee existed? Say what now?
That was basically at a time. It was when I first started doing SmackDown reviews. Mm. And like my biggest criticism was like they've got one women's segment and it's all the women in this segment. That's where SmackDown women
standing in a row come from.
All their segments were just all of them standing in a row talking about what six-woman tag they're going to have this week and what six-woman tag they're going to have at the pay-per-view. Every one of them were all involved in the same storyline. It was actually hilariously rubbish.
It is awful.
So I'm going to put the Welcoming Committee at the bottom.
Omnishane next, only because they've only just started. Agreed. So let's see how long that lasts. And then I'm going to say Baron Corbin's Midcard of Evil, and I'm going to say the Dogs of War are the best of a bad lot, because at least they had a point.
Yeah, we have exactly the same list.
Although it did ruin Braun somewhat.
Yes, it did.
This is our last question. It comes from Luke, who says, "Hey guys, I'm responding to a response to my original question from last week." So this is, we had an email, or a message rather, for the mailbag a couple of weeks ago, maybe about a month ago now, about talking about trying to vote Vince McMahon out of a position of power on the board of directors. And we had someone email in on the podcast to kind of give sort of a business background as to why that can't happen. And so we'll sponsor business. Are you buying any of this? Yes. Hooray! And so this is going to be very much business.
Cool.
I'm responding to a response to my original question from last week regarding pushing Vince out of unloading shares. I'm actually a business major, an accounting major, so I know it won't happen and it won't make WWE worse off. It would make WWE worse off because sponsors would leave and the company would lose money. My thought was the board pushing this idea that if Vince didn't step down as lead creative, that they would offload their shares. That was my theory, not that they would just start doing it, but instead it would be to force him out by threatening to kill WWE by killing their stock value. They won't do this, though, because WWE is making them so much money that they don't care about the end product on TV. Sorry for the long comment, but wanted to clear this up to keep up the consistently great content. And that's the key to it. That's the point I was going to make, is that it doesn't matter how bad the TV product is, because the shareholders just want to know that they're making money.
Exactly.
It's like with people who have stocks and shares in Ubisoft, don't care if their games suck.
Yeah.
Because they make money either way.
Exactly.
They just want to make money.
Yeah.
And Anthem was a big pile of pants. Doesn't matter. The people who are running the company make all the money.
Mm-hmm.
Or running the company make all the money, and all their shareholders make all the money. So actually, everything's A-okay. Doesn't matter that the gamers had a terrible time playing their rubbish game. They got money.
Yep.
Yay!
I wouldn't say that's a sustainable business model, but you know. For the short term, it's good.
But, WWE have made, for everything that could be said about the Saudi Arabia deal, and boy howdy, is there a lot to be said about
it. Oh, there's a lot.
Oh, there's a lot to be said about it. It has made them untold amount of money.
A stupid amount of money.
So their shareholders are just like, Vince is a genius. Yeah. Vince literally is a genius. Look at all this money I'm currently... I am Scrooge McDuck diving into a vault full of money.
Yep.
And that is because Vince made this genius business deal on paper.
Yeah.
Now it opens up a can of worms about various other different things. But if you're a shareholder, you don't care. You've made the money.
Yep.
And really, money is the driving force because corporations are evil. If it felt like our outro portion of that intro was a bit rushed, it's because it is so hot in this room.
It's sweltering.
I just noticed it because you just took your hat off.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realized, it is hot in here, isn't it?
It's really hot.
I don't know what's happened to this place. I guess because it's such a self-contained room.
Mm.
And it is just it's so hot in here.
I know.
I don't know what it's going to be like. If we get another heat wave this year.
I know.
I don't know what it's going to be like. Doing an hour and a half show in here when we do the rambles and stuff.
Oh, even at nighttime, it's still really hot. So doing live reactions to SummerSlam or something.
Oh, dude. Double or Nothing was the sweatiest experience I've had in here. It was a 5-hour live stream. And we were just sweating so much by the end of it, because it gets ludicrously hot in this room.
I don't understand.
I don't know why.
There's no form of heating in here.
No, absolutely not. We've got a fan that does nout.
The fan just blows hot air around.
We're going to have to bring the other fan in as well.
Yeah,
double team it.
Yeah.
Because we can't have the AC on either, because the AC is it's up there.
Oh,
so
God.
It's by the microphones. Yeah, so you're just going to have this... if we have it on.
Yeah.
So we have to turn it off while we're recording.
Shocking.
Anyway.
Anywho.
So we're going to Birmingham. I'm super, super duper excited.
Mm.
And I'm genuinely very excited for this evening as well. We're recording this on a Friday.
Mm.
Because Pete, Laurie, and my friend Tom are coming over to my house. We're going to have lads and beers and lads and games. And we're going to play some Switch. And I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's probably the best part of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. And then we're going to go off to Birmingham tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're going to have some beers and pizza and whatnot this evening. Playing some Switch, playing some games. It's going to be terrific.
Yep.
Super stoked for Games Expo as well. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it's going to be up. So much fun.
So much fun. But I'm afraid we are going to have to cut this outro short. Let me just check if I haven't got any emails to read out. Actually, no, I'm going to read out this email that comes in from Jackson. And it says, hello, mate. You probably won't see this, but I just want to say keep up the good work with WrestleTalk. I discovered you guys almost 2 years ago, and I'm glad I did because I was going through a rough patch and wrestling videos took my mind off everything. Love the combo of you and Ollie. This is an email directly to me, I'm guessing. And I always have a good time watching. I plan on becoming a pledge hammer soon. I would love nothing more than to support WrestleTalk. Thanks again. Give my hello to the crew from me. That's from Jackson in Canada. Thank you very much for your message,
thank
Jackson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You're very, very bloody welcome. Let's have some jokes to round this things off. James Dillon, who had emailed in on the mailbags, you'd have heard. A blonde walks into the bar and says, I'll have 15. Bartender says, sorry, I don't know that one. Blonde replies, you know, a 7 and a 7.
Okay.
Shivam says, hello, Luke, Laurie, and Oliver. Did you know that Randy Orton has a reputation as the best person in WWE to borrow money from? They call him the Apex Creditor.
That's good.
That's actually genuinely cool.
Like that one.
Vinny Shway has emailed in 20. Read that. 20 bad jokes. So let's have a couple of these.
Okay.
Here are some of his favorites. Hope you haven't heard them already. Two antennas met on a roof, fell in love and got married. The ceremony wasn't much, but the reception was incredible.
Yeah, heard that one.
Jumper Cable walks into a bar. Bartender says, I'll serve you, but don't start anything.
Whee!
That's how you tell them, folks. What do you call a fish with no eyes?
Fish.
Two fish swim into a concrete wall. One fish turns to the other and says, damn.
Good one.
Missing dwarf escaped from a jail. The call went out. There was a small medium at large.
That's good.
Man walked into a bar with a slab of asphalt under his arm. He tells the bartender, a beer, please, and one for the road.
Hey.
Horse walks into a bar. Several people got up and left as they spot a potential danger of the situation.
That's good.
I still remember the last words my grandpa said before he kicked the bucket. He said, How far do you think I can kick this bucket? That's very good. Yes. An owl and a squirrel are sitting in a tree. They both watch a farmer walk by. The owl turns to the squirrel and says nothing because owls can't talk. The owl then eats the squirrel because it's a bird of prey.
I love anti-jokes. They're my favorite.
What are ninjas' favorite type of shoes? Sneakers!
What
did one plate say to the other? Lunch is on me! What did the wall say to the ceiling? I'll meet you at the corner. What's brown and rhymes with Snoop? Oh, I'm not reading that punchline. That's terrible. I broke my arm. That's dreadful, Vinny. You should be ashamed of yourself for that one. I broke my arms in two places. You know what the doctor said? Stay out of those places.
It's a good one.
That's very good. Man is getting a checkup. The doctor says, you have to stop masturbating. The guy says, why? The doctor tells him, because I'm trying to examine you.
That's also very good.
Knock knock, who's there? Oh no, knock knock.
Who's there?
Little old lady.
Little old lady who?
I told you, I didn't know you could yodel. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Two.
To who?
I think you mean to whom. Did you hear about the new movie called Constipation? No, it's because it's not out yet.
Hey.
And lastly, how many Freudians does it take to screw in a light bulb? Two. One to screw in the light bulb, one to hold the penis. I mean the ladder. One to hold the ladder. Thank you so much for your jokes and all of your correspondence. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week for the Wrestle Ramble, possibly even with NXT TakeOver 25 Wrestle Ramble review, but Ollie's not here, so I can't make that executive decision, but I hope so. Take care, I love you, goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.